You may be seated. Dearly beloved, we are gathered today here with broken, joyful hearts. Broken hearts that a precious child of God, a special gift of God, Owen Christian Koopman, is no longer with us on earth. And joyful hearts that Owen is now enjoying eternal life, that all his earthly weaknesses have been shed forever, that in the words of Isaiah 35, he can now leap for joy and know the Lord to the full. And the bitterness of our tears is answered by the joy of the Lord to be our strength. The Lord has given Owen to us on earth for 10 years, and the Lord has taken Owen away to heaven for unending millions of years. And with his grace and help, we say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And we gather now in the hope and power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that those who die in saving union with him look forward to resurrection and the reunion of all Christ's own. A resurrection where all earthly weaknesses are gone, all scars and hurts are healed, and every tear is wiped away. This is a blessed gospel hope that makes this a blessed and special day. Let us sing together now, Psalter 55. Begin with a confession of faith using question and answer one of the Heidelberg Catechism that summarizes the entire Christian faith beautifully and warmly. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and delivers me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Yes, that all things must serve my salvation. And therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready from now on to live for him. Let's sing together Psalter 402, 1, 4, and 6 of 402. Let's pray to the Lord our God and seek his comfort. Glorious, almighty, praiseworthy God, you are worth praising in the joys of life because you give them all. You are worth praising when our hearts are broken and in the griefs of life, because these two come not by chance, by cruelty, by random happenstance, but they come from your most fatherly hands and heart. And so we acknowledge you as God, the sovereign God, without whom not a hair can fall from our heads, the tender-hearted God, for we cannot feel a pang of grief or trial that you do not know yourself. We come to you in the name of your Son, who wept on the way to the graveside of his friend Lazarus when he knew that within 5 minutes his friend would be raised from the dead, and yet he showed himself as able to feel, as he is to save. And Lord Jesus, we appeal to your sympathy and kind-heartedness as our resting place. And we bring before you the grief that each of us feel in unique ways. Scott and Jen, Jenna Grace, Mayel, Lila Joy, Emma Rose, Ivy Faith, the grandparents, Mary Van Duduar, John and Sue Koopman, and a great-grandmother, Addie Koopman. So many uncles and aunts and cousins and family members, you know, Lord, how this affects each one of us. And will you personalize your comfort and your care to us? We thank you for the special treasured gift that Owen was for these last 10 years. And along with extra cares and burdens, you gave such a sweetness and joy also that Owen will leave a gaping hole in the family and in the daily routine. And we acknowledge you, Lord, for that special gift, that children like this are truly a treasure, that bring with them a special love and a unique love that they express and that they receive from us. And so, Lord, we thank you that you gave him to this family and this congregation too. We acknowledge also the sweet providence that you have surrounded these last weeks with. You have scheduled and arranged Owen's death and the circumstances of his death in such beautiful ways, with such blessed sensitivity. So we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you how you express your care for us also through the care of your people, that we may stand together and bear these griefs and these sorrows, and that we may do so looking to you, the Lord, whose joy is our strength. Because the tears are for a while, but joy will come in the morning, and especially on resurrection morning, when all things will be made new, and when all your saints together will gather without sin and heartache, and will gather before you, leaping for joy and singing and praising God. And you've given us previews of that, even in the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you that that hope is not a maybe, if, and perhaps, but in your Son is a certainty that is greater than the uncertainties and frailties of death that we feel and experience. And so we praise you for being the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles. We thank you for all the care that Owen received through the years from members of this church family and healthcare professionals, and in so many ways. He touched so many lives. And we pray now, Lord, as we hear your word, you know our frailty. We'll read it in a moment, that all flesh is as grass and that our goodliness can fade as quickly as mown grass, but that your word endures forever, that it has power and weight and majesty and beauty that sparkles nowhere greater than in the valley of the shadow of death. So may it sparkle. May you give yourself to us now. We read it at the graveside in Psalm 23, and we sang it. For you are then with me. You spread a table before me in the presence of my enemies, the last enemy of death. And you give goodness and mercy to follow us all the days of our lives. Will you surround us and cherish us with your goodness and mercy, that knowing ourselves in your arms, we may joy in you? And will you give healing now and in whatever way we need it in the days and weeks to follow? We pray that the power of the gospel would grab every heart listening, that each of us might know by experience and delight what it is to be your people, to belong to you in life and in death, and to be secured in your unfailing grace. Who is like you? We say with the psalmist, I love the Lord, because he hears my voice and my cries for help, and he secures my eyes from tears, my feet from falling, and my soul from death. Thank you for showing us your glory and greatness, in all these last 10 years and now again today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let us turn to the sacred scriptures, to the living words of the living God in Isaiah chapter 40, where we find these beautiful words. We'll be reading the first 11 verses of the chapter and then the last part of the chapter, and that's on page 638 in the Red Pew Bibles in front of you. Scott and Jen have requested that the last verses of this chapter form the message for this service, so that will be verses 27 to the end. But we'll read the first 11 verses, and then we'll also read verses 21 to 31. Comfort. Yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem, and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hands double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry out? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Then verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he, God, who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted. Scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stalk take root in the earth when he will also blow on them, and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, the stars, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So far, the living words of the living God. Dear Scott and Jen, Jenna Grace, Mael, Lila Rose, Lila Joy, I should say, Emma Rose, Ivy Faith, family, friends. We gather for the privilege and the labor of grieving as people with hope. Oh, and that dear, sweet, cheerful boy who has filled your heart and home with blessings for 10 years leaves behind a massive empty place. Yes, his presence meant extra care and challenges for you, and his frailty could sometimes be overwhelming, and it took hours each day to care for him. But Owen's presence brought so much joy to your home. As parents, you could both weep for him and enjoy him. He was the buddy of his sisters who was always ready to cuddle with you. Owen could sit beside his grandparents or uncles and aunts on the couch, and you could see his smile light up the room even over their Facebook posts. And he sat here in this room in Sunday school class in his wheelchair. And children, some of you in his class are here today because you all knew Owen. The world does not notice his passing, but God cares about his life and death. Owen's death is as precious to the living God as the saints best known to us from the pages of Scripture, whether it be David or Paul or Anna or Mary. And Christ's care for his Owens in this world is described in Psalter 200. The weak and helpless shall his pity know, for their lives are precious in his sight. And so we have so many reasons today to thank and praise the Lord. Not just for the gift of Owen's life, but also for the tender timing and care of the Lord in his death. Several of you have said that to me. How sweet God's providence and timing have been. Just a couple weeks ago, the whole Van Duderwaard clan was together, and there was Owen's on the family picture. His sweet, smiling self passed away without illness or struggle, taken home quietly, calmly. And in all these things, the Lord reveals his strength amid our weakness, and he reveals his help also in this text that Scott and Jen have chosen. Yes, the text begins with a couple of tough questions, the questions that can fill our hearts and minds in the face of suffering, sickness, handicap, and death. But it does so because it then erupts with the greatness and tenderness of God who strengthens his people even when we have no might. But best of all, it ends with the promise of the God who is big enough and rich enough for life and death, for today and tomorrow, for forever. So here's our theme. The Lord gives himself to us in our weakness. First, he rewords our questions. Then he changes our focus. And lastly, he sustains us with his promise. The Lord gives himself to us in our weakness. First, then he rewords our questions. Suffering and death make us aware of our frailty. They arouse in us questions. Because death is unnatural and painful as people who were created by God to live. And it always comes as something of a shock, but especially this time. No one saw it coming. And suffering, handicaps, and death arouse our questions and can be temptations. And our text mentions two of them. First, in verse 27, this. To say that God doesn't see or notice. My way is hidden from the Lord. He's too majestic to concern himself with us puny human beings and little specks in the grand majesty of his creation. He's God up there, but he's not God down here. And the second is to say that God ignores us. He's down here, but he doesn't care enough to step in. Verse 27 again, my just claim is passed over. It's skipped by my God. These questions confront the very love and justice and faithfulness of God. It has not been easy to see Owen born healthy, then to get sick in the hospital and end up in a wheelchair. Many of us in this room prayed for healing. And the Lord sometimes answers such prayers as he did with Owen by saying, my grace is sufficient for you. I will make my strength perfect in your weakness. But that also means that God's people at various stages of such things can struggle with these questions. What does this say about God? And such questions are part of grief, or can be, even sometimes with a certain heat to them. Psalm 77. We sang it yesterday as a church. The thought of God brought me no peace and gave me sleepless eyes and speechless pain amid the grief. But you know there's something so beautiful about these questions. Because even if they reveal a lack of understanding or short-sightedness in us, God allows these questions to set the theme of the sermon, if you will. Do you realize that that's who God is? That he hears the cries and questions and pains of his people, that he puts it into words in his word for you. He lets you speak. He says, I'm going to start by listening, and you speak to me. Pour out your questions, and if you desire and feel them, even your accusations and your lack of understanding. He lets you speak. Is that what you want to do or have wanted to do or maybe will want to do in the future? You don't know. That he's big enough and caring enough to listen to you. Without interruption, he'll let you speak. But then it's his turn to speak. And it's our privilege to close our mouths and open our ears and hear his response that is so beautiful. And you see, these are the types of questions that you will stay stuck with if you're busy with yourself, and it's hard. And if you look no further than your own life, the me-centered view of life that so subtly can come up in all of our hearts and mine too, can lead to the delusion. I can even judge God by whether or not he too is me-centered. And that's why the text refocuses these questions in verse 28 by asking us, have you not known? Have you not heard? The God who speaks and makes himself knowable comes to us, who never wearies of making himself known again in the heartaches of life. The reset of God's own character. You know that every computer gadget or tablet you own every once in a while just needs a reset and a restart. The thing just stops working properly. The quirks come out, and the only cure is to turn it off, start it back up. And every child of God needs gospel resets and reboots. And the good news then is always what God, who God is and what he does. That's the reset. Life and death, tears and joy, the Lord giving and the Lord taking away, all of it exposes in us weaknesses and our need for a spiritual reset and reboot. And now God himself asks you in verse 28, what you've heard, what you know, do you remember it, do you treasure it, do you cling to it, do you grab it? Is that how you live in the moment? And to help us, God answers his own questions. And that's our second point. He changes our focus. You see, our problem as human beings is we tend to reason backwards. Now, children, Have you ever played with binoculars? As long as you have Dad's permission. What do you do with binoculars? Well, if there's something in the distance and you want to see it clearly, you put them on your eyes and you zoom in until you can see what it is. But I remember as a child using them backwards and trying that out. And if you look through the wrong end, then what you're trying to see at is so much further away that you can't be sure at all anymore what you're looking at. And you don't know anymore. And when you and I begin with our lives rather than with who God is, then what we're doing is looking through the binoculars backwards. And that means we can quickly conclude things about God that are hasty and not correct. And instead, we're supposed to begin with who God is and then come to a conclusion about what's happening. And so in this text, the Lord takes the binoculars and he gently flips them the right way and puts them up to our faces so that we'll look through the right end as we remember Owen. And he says to you, as it were, here's how to flip the binoculars when you run stuck, now or later. Once you know who God is, his greatness, glory, and tenderness help you. And sometimes as you grieve, you need to do this 10 times a day and remind yourself of this again and again. And so God says, let me tell you again who I am. Let me give you three names by which I make myself known. Let me draw three conclusions for you from these things. First, God says here, he's the everlasting God, and that means there are no beginnings and endings to God. In the beginning, he didn't start up, he was there. He made the beginning. And as far into the future as you can look and think, he'll still be God. No one put him in power and no one can take him out of it. No one can arm wrestle God and win. Second, God here reveals himself as the Lord. That is the God who makes covenant relationship with his people, who separates us from all the peoples of this world to be his people, so that everything you have and are is his. You owe it to him. And everything he is and has, he owes to you. He commits himself to be your God, to provide, to care for you and your children. He does this to us rebellious sinners who would never come looking for him if he did not claim us. But oh, what a precious thing this covenant-making, covenant-keeping God is. When we think about Owen, he has kept covenant by taking Owen home. And the heart of the covenant is this: he will be their God and they shall be his people, and he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. Owen couldn't even wipe away his own tears in his helplessness. God's done so through your hands for 10 years. And now he's done so forever with his own hand. That's the sweetness of the covenant of grace. And third, the Lord makes himself known here as the creator of the ends of the earth. Everything in this whole universe, from galaxy to galaxy, down to planets, down to the littlest molecules, his eternity means he's not limited by time, and his creator status is not by space. Everything is under his control, fulfilling his purposes. He says about everything, every speck, every subatomic particle, it's mine. And the extent of that glory is pictured magnificently here in Isaiah 40. God has to talk down to our level so we'll get it. We use tape measures. We use light years to measure galaxies. And how does God measure galaxies that take a million years to get from one end to the other, going at 187,000 kilometers per second? We call them light years. God uses his span. In those days, they didn't have a tape measure, so they just used their hand. Your span is from fingertip to end. So God looks at galaxies and says, 5. The entire Rocky Mountain chain that some of you flew over to get here is like a grain of sand on your bathroom scale. When you step on the scale, you don't first say, I better blow off that grain of sand because it's going to mess with the reading. All of creation is like a grain of sand on the scales. When you carry a bucket of water and one drop spills out, it doesn't bother you. All the nations of this earth together are like a drop. You can't overrule God. You can't go on strike against Him. You can't gain your will. Nothing gets out of His hand. And this is the God of absolute power and presence and majesty. You live in His hands. Now, why does God remind Israel and remind us of these three core names that are hundreds of times in the Bible? It's almost like me introducing myself to my wife after the service and saying, "Hello, I'm Eric Mordyke. Who are you? Let me give you my contact card." It has a sting to it, but it's a healing, comforting sting. God says, when you grab a hold of this again and again by faith, this resets, this heals, this comforts you as you think not just about the world, but about your life and your loved ones. What impact does this have? Well, first, verse 28, it says, God Himself does not grow faint or weary. He never runs out of energy. He can do everything He wants to do. And what He wants to do is care for His people and gather, as we read, the lambs in His arms and lead gently the mothers and the little ones. He wants to gather rebels from this world to become His children. And secondly, we read here, there's no searching of God's understanding. He can perfectly discern at every moment just what He wants to do, how to accomplish His purposes. His providence is not random. It's not by chance. It's not an accident. He has been working with understanding in the birth, sickness, handicaps, life, and death of His own. And how grieving people need to keep latching back onto this, that God's plan means He's not overlooking His people, from the least to the greatest, as this world would call them, but they're all His own. Your life doesn't always make sense to you or to me. It can remain completely hidden. And while Israel wasn't right here to say, "My way is hidden from the Lord," they could with accuracy have said, "My way is hidden from me. I don't understand." Do you realize, young man or young woman, that your strength is fading? Is everything going well in your life? Be thankful. It's good to hear. Do you think you have all the answers to life? That you can arrange and schedule everything and you don't need anything or anyone? You're fooling yourself. The day will come, young or old, where you will grow weary and utterly fail if all you've got is what you can muster. If all the understanding you have is what you can calculate. That's why no one can really live without God. But now the great contrast. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall be recharged by God Himself. Discover that in the middle of your weakness, God gives you strength. God carries you. God gives Himself to you. Not just generic energy, but energy because He's there. God uses three pictures here to describe this. The first is the eagle tirelessly soaring in the heavens, especially if you live out west, you see them along the rivers there in the ocean. They can find a warm thermal current and glide without even flapping their wings, just soaring in the heavens. This is picturing God's supernatural strength. Now, you and I can't fly with our own arms any more than we can will worlds into existence. But with God, the impossible's possible. You can soar by knowing the power of Christ's resurrection in your heart now, so that people who don't know God look at you and say, "I don't know how you can go on like this." Well, so will the strength be of everyone who trustingly waits on the Lord, or who clings to the Lord amid desperation and weariness. then there's the marathon runner, mile after mile, but a marathon's only so long because your body can only take so much. Then you have to stop, then you're whipped. This runner's different. He perseveres, he keeps on going. So will the strength of the Lord be in the exceptional demands of life for those who wait on Him. And waiting's for the powerless when all you can do is sit and lean. And the third picture is the hiker. You could say the ordinary grind of life. This walker's kept going by the Lord Himself. And so will the strength of the Lord be for those who wait on Him. You see now that God promises far more than we could ever think of. God gives a reset and a reboot as often as His people need it. That's every day in some way. Most of all, in difficult moments like this and joyful moments like this. And what more then could God give than He has given? His fatherly heart, His Son, His Spirit to be the eternal home of His people. I once visited someone in a hospital in critical condition after an accident. It was a father with several young children. I spoke after visiting with him with his wife in the waiting room, and she was just so full. His life was up in the air. We didn't know what was going to happen. And she was so full of calm, quiet, confidence, and peace that a stranger who was in the waiting room stood up and approached her and said to her with awe in his voice, "Lady, you are strong." Well, the text gives her secret, and in hindsight, this is what I should have said. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even youth shall fail, and young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You don't always feel super strong when the Lord is carrying you. Sometimes you're just plodding. Sometimes it feels you're running. Sometimes soaring. But in all of it, the Lord strengthens. And this is the living God who has come close to us now, and who promises you His strength to bear your grief, and who promises you the hope of eternal life in Christ, who promises life-changing power so anyone listening can learn to delight in Him and serve Him rather than rebelling against Him and ignoring Him. Now, why wouldn't you want to follow Him? No wonder Psalm 34, the record of David's rescue by God in his troubles and sorrows, has verses for children. Come, children, listen. Taste. See that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who trusts in Him. Sometimes, children, you can go to Costco with Mom. If you go around lunchtime, they'll have all those little things you can taste and eat because they want you to taste it and then say to Mom, "Mom, we have to take one of those home." Well, I can do that today in this text to the children listening. God says, taste and see that God is good and that those who trust in Him are blessed and that tears and joy flow from His gracious, tender hands. Amen. Let us sing together Psalter 29. Let us thank God for his word. Lord God, we thank you so much that you're not just God up there, but God down here with us. And that you have shown that in so many ways in the last years and days and hours. We thank you that whenever our hearts get dislocated and weary and overwhelmed, that you love to come with your grace and wisdom and light and to carry and to gently lead the brokenhearted and the questioning. We thank you that you want to hear our questions and that you care for us. And we thank you for your greatness and goodness. And now will you bless this dear family, every one, young and older, with your grace and kindness, that in the days and weeks that follow, these beautiful words would be the story of their life. Weary and yet carried. Overwhelmed and yet cherished by you. And so will you give each of us those gospel reboots and resets that we need, the news of who you are. We pray for every person listening here, for that person listening who doesn't know you and who may come to know you through your Son. May that be the blessing also of Owen's life, that others learn to see the grace of the God who carries his people. We thank you for all your goodness and kindness to us sinners who live in this broken world because we broke it. We thank you that you give healing and light and help and hope. We praise you for being the God of all these blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. I have been asked on behalf of the family to convey to every one of you their deepest appreciation for your attendance here, for all your expressions of love and care received in so many ways in these days, and also for showing your love to Owen and his family for these past 10 years. Thank you. And please feel free to stay later and share some refreshments with the family. Let's stand together to sing as doxology, Psalter 15. Psalter 15, how God through weakest means makes known his glory, purpose, and will.